Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2005 Home Education Conference held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Seven-year-olds, eight-year-olds, nine-year-olds, 10-year-olds? Okay, well, we're not going to go 10-year-olds, but we'll go to about eight. So anyway, if you've got 10 or older, there's another class tomorrow for grades 4 through 8. And then I'm also teaching another class today on writing is a blast, things you can do with your family. And that is later on today. Anyway, we're going to have some fun. All right, make sure you have a pencil out because you're going to be using it. First of all, I have homeschooled for a year and a half. I got my degree in elementary ed. Oh, I'm a star. I got my degree in elementary ed at BYU. I taught school, and my kids were in school, and I was there in the classroom teaching and helping and all of that till a year and a half ago. We moved to Virginia Beach, and we couldn't find a house. We moved into a beach house that was right on the sand. It was us, the beach, and the water. And it was at that point we've homeschooled our whole life. We just didn't know we were homeschooling. We homeschooled when our kids were in school because we always did extra projects, extra everything. Well, when we moved to the beach, there was the ocean, and we decided, I can't put my kids on school buses to drive them to school so they can learn about dolphins when we're sitting here looking out the window watching them. So it was at that point we said, well, let's just give it a little time and we'll try it. And we've loved it ever since. So, but we do a lot of writing in our schooling. And I have, over all the 20 years that I have taught in the schools and in my family, in the community, I have come up with my own theory, and it's next. Here it is. It's the writing traffic light theory. We're all very familiar with the traffic light. This is it, my five-word theory from 20 years of experience. That's the best I could come up with, was five words. The first one is the green light, and that's right, right, right. And you can just go ahead and fill this in on your on your little flyer. The next one is yellow. Edit. That's what you do on the yellow light. And the red light is sparkle. All right, the first one is the green light. In this step, there are three steps in this theory. The first step is write. Just write, write, write. Get everything out. Go. I give my kids the green light to write. To just start. Sometimes we are so nervous about our spelling or punctuation or the things, you know, my ideas. For heaven's sake, put that aside. That comes here. That comes next. Right now, just sit down, get your pencil out, and start writing. Get those ideas out, and then you can edit.
Do you start with them dictating to you when they're really little?
We'll get to that. Okay? At this point, whether it's you writing or your child writing, just get it on paper. The next is the yellow. When you're driving a car and you see a yellow light, you're supposed to slow down. My kid said, Mom, you can't give that lecture because you always go faster when you get to that point. And so don't go faster. Go with the traffic rules. And the yellow light is slow down. Stop. After you've gotten all your words out, this is when you stop. No, you slow down, you step back, and you look at your writing. This is when we start to edit. You look at the spelling. You look at the punctuation. You look at your ideas. Do they flow? Does it sound good when you read it? That's edit. The last step is sparkle. Now, it's a red light. Stop writing. You are going to add no more writing. Okay? When you finish editing, your paper is done. It doesn't look very pretty, but but it's finished. You're not going to add any more words. In this step, sparkle. That's when you put it on clean paper. That's when you type it. I mean, you can type it anywhere along here, but this is when you're going to print it out on nice paper. You're going to pick your font. You're going to pick the size. You're going to make it look like a rainbow, whatever. That's when you do it, is the sparkle. Now, one day I was in the third grade with my daughter, and I was she was writing a paper on gemstones. She didn't know about this process, had not learned that in third grade. And she sat for 15 minutes working on her title, the color, the font, the size, and after 15 minutes, that's all she had was a beautiful title on her piece of paper. Children can learn to write. If they follow these steps, and they're very simple, they can learn to write, and so can you. You know, a lot of us have our own fear of, writing. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt you. Another mistake.
Right.
Oh, I can't believe you.
Especially in first grade, and we're just going to come to that. Editing is, it's an attack on your self-esteem when you're young. It is only when you go through the process and you're older that you understand that editing is there for a purpose. It helps you. It's not there to just torture you. And it's not there to make you feel bad or feel stupid that you don't know how to spell or you forgot the capital or the period. Okay. All right. On your paper, you have something that looks like this. This is the hidden treasure chart. And we're going to do something really fun with this right now. And when you go home, you can do this with your family. You can do this with the primary. You can do this with a family reunion. It doesn't matter. Next slide. You are probably used to seeing these pictures. If not, then you'll have to look close. I want you to choose one of these pictures right now. I'm going to show you how to become part of this painting. The hidden treasure chart that's on your thing, you're going to do this right now. You're only going to fill out two of the columns by looking at these. And I don't know if there's any way to turn the lights down so you can see them better. This one's Abinadi, and here's Nephi on the boat. Now, yeah, that works a little better. Okay, what I want you to do right now is with your eye, in the eye on your chart, there are four columns and three rows. On the first row, there's an eye. In that eye column, I want you to pick one of these, and I want you to look. I want you to find something that you see that's really interesting. It might be this broken sword down here. It might be this leopard's teeth that are bared. I don't always say, oh yeah, I see a man, I see a king, I see feathers. I want you to look really closely and find two things. Then just write them down. You can draw a picture or you can write with words. Do that really quick. Next, the next row has a picture of the nose. Now, if you were in these pictures, what would you smell? And of course, the first thing always in any picture, oh, there's animals. You'd smell. It'd be smelly. It'd be stinky. You're right. Tell your kids you're right. Those are leopards. They probably have gone to the bathroom. That might stink. What else do you smell? Get past the bathroom. Anyway, what else would you smell in here? Looks kind of cramped, kind of crowded. I bet those guys are kind of hot, kind of sweaty. What else do you smell? All right, in the last row, there's a picture of an ear. If you were in this picture, what would you hear? What would you hear if you were there? Now, if you were doing this with your family, with a group, you would have them fill out the whole chart. If you've got a large group like this, you would say, okay, you 10 people are one group. I would divide it into fours or fives or whatever, and have you work as a group and fill out your chart. And then you would share that. This builds excellent observation skills. This helps your children become a part of this. We've done this at the museum, and here we are standing, filling out a chart, and look at that. Your kids will pick up things. Arnold Freeberg is one of my favorite artists because he draws with such incredible detail. So any of the paintings that he has done are excellent for this activity. Now, we're going to come back to this, but you've done your first writing activity. It's very small, but you know what? For young kids, this works for young kids and old kids, and it's an easy way to get them start looking. Now, we'll come back to that in just a second. Right now, we need to talk about the developmental writing stages. Now, there are different kinds of writers. These beginning writers, these are some of the group that we're talking about today. They are just starting to write letters. They are just starting to learn how to read, learn how to write. They don't know how to combine all those letters to make big words. You can go to the next. So what do beginning writers look like? Well, first of all, they write with scribbles. They might just scribble on the page and say, look what I wrote, look what I wrote. They might write on an envelope, and they're just scribbling, but they know that's writing. They understand that wiggling has meaning. They love to tell about themselves. Oh, you know, there's so much that sometimes you can't keep them quiet. But that's a good thing, a very good thing. They like to draw, and their writing, usually it's all illustration. Usually it's just one big picture with some little letters underneath, or one sentence in this stage. That's where it starts, and that's where you encourage. They are just learning how to write, so their letters are backwards, they're upside down, they're twisted, and that doesn't mean they're dyslexic. That means they haven't written that letter enough times. Perhaps they are dyslexic, but give them time. A lot of times they just don't remember which way they go because they're all about the same anyway. Next. Okay. We're going to take our traffic light and we're going to look at the traffic light because it's different with every stage. With this stage, for beginning writers, here we are in the right on the green light. Now, with this group, time. It takes time. Everything takes time. And I'm constantly, hurry, get your shoes, just grab them and take them to the car. And my six-year-old is just getting comfortable on the steps to, you know, I'm going to put my shoe on. No, just grab the shoe and put it on in the car, you know. That whole hurry up. They don't understand that. It makes no sense to them. Anyway, in this stage, in the green light, the right, you're encouraging them to form letters. Sound it out. I know that we all get bent out of shape with spelling. No, you have to learn to spell. You know what? This group, if they can sound it out, all the better. There's a story about a little girl ran in the house, Mom, I know how to spell elephant. She was telling her little brother, oh, I know how to spell elephant. She just, on her spelling test, did that. And the little brother said, I know how to spell everything. Because he sounded things out. And it didn't look perfect, but he didn't know that. And he had the confidence in himself to say, I know how to spell anything. What's the big deal about spelling elephant? I can spell that. That is fine. And they have done research. They've done studies on if children learn to sound things out, then they'll be fine. They will learn to spell with more reading, more writing. That comes later. Don't squash. Because you'll see in the next phase how many children have been completely squashed and they are fearful of their spelling. Yes?
The problem is they can't spell it.
Okay, if you've got a child who's a perfectionist and who really wants to spell things correctly because they know that already, that things are spelled correct, you know what? Help her make words on a ring. Have her glue a little picture of a ball and then write ball and punch a hole in it, put it on a ring. Those are her words that she needs help with spelling. Or, you know, and just give her 20 words or 50 words. Oh, here's yellow. Do all the colors. Do all the numbers. Do anything around the house.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to get back to that. And I'm going to just quick go through this. If you've got comments, I'll take those kind of at the end or maybe at the end of the slide. Okay, just so we can get through everything. Okay, so this is the stage. Help them learn there are different steps because kids don't always know that. They get nervous and know it has to be perfect this first time. So we'll kind of come back to perfectionist children who love to write. But at this point, really encourage them. Just sound it out. Just see, you know, what does it sound like? Even if it's just the first letter. Edit. This one, there is not much revision in this age group just because it took them 20 minutes to write four letters. So there's not huge amounts of revision. Now, each one of your child will be specific where you need to meet their needs. And they may be partially on this, the beginning. They might be a beginning writer going into the developing writer. And so you'll see, you know, you need to be aware of where your child is. Anyway, the edit, they need to read it to a friend. That is editing in this stage. Just read it to a friend, read it to themselves. Does it make sense? And usually you're going to elaborate. Their editing is usually, oh, I'm going to add more information to it. Sparkle. Oh. All right. Take your piece of paper, fold it in half. I'm going to teach you how to make a flip and fold book. Just take your paper, fold it in half, crease it. Fold it in half, then you're going to fold it in half again. Kids this age love to make books. Ta-da! Now, you're going to staple it here, and you're going to cut off you're going to staple it on the side. And then you're going to cut off the fold that's on the top. Guess what? That's a book. Because it doesn't have that fold. All of a sudden, that's an 8-page book. You give one of those to a child, oh man, I've written a book. It's 8 pages long. There's one word on every page. That's a book. All right, they want a book going sideways. You just turn the paper over, put your staples over here, and cut off the fold that way. Anyway, this is so empowering to children. I'm an author. Look what I wrote. 8 pages. That's huge. All right, you can unfold your papers. Anyway, encourage in this sparkle phase of things, encourage your children to make little books, to write. Encourage them. They love that. And if your child will not draw, let me recommend Ed Emberley teaches simple drawing. I love his stuff. Teach your children how to draw cats and dogs. Ed Emberley, E-M-B-E-R-L-Y or L-E-Y. And he does a variety of books. And they're all start with a square, start with a circle, put two triangles. Those are ears, two eyeballs. You know, he's very simple. Teach your children because that empowers their drawing. And their drawing enhances their writing. All right, for example, next. Ta-da! 6-year-old drew this. Can you read that? What does it say?
Digger.
This is Digger the dog. She was so thrilled, you know, and we just, and every time I want to say, no, there's 2 G's and an E, you know, oh, you misspelled that. I bite my tongue, I close my, and anytime I see my kids about to do the same thing, you spelled that wrong. Go do the dishes. You know, I send that child out of the room because I want Mimi, who is 6, I want her. This is where it starts. You start with simple spelling. And sometimes you're going to have to ask them, now, what does that say? What did you just write? Because I don't understand it. Can you tell me more about it? Have your children just start because that is so empowering. And that's what we're doing with writing. We're helping empower our children. We're helping them to become better writers. Next. Okay, these are some great activities to do with your beginning writers. Okay, animal shape book. This is 3 pieces of paper and a piece of construction paper. Fold it in half. We do everything with paper. You just fold it in half. You staple it twice on the top, on the fold. Ta-da! You have a book! Guess what? Staples are miracles. Then we cut out the shape of a bear. She drew the bear. Oh, it's a bear book. Oh, who wouldn't want to write in a book that's a shape? You can do flowers. You can do bumblebees. You can do any shape you want. But this is our animal shape book. She did all, she loved bears so much, she found four different kinds. She made four different bears. We have the polar bear, the panda bear, the koala bear, the brown bear. We have a whole series of books. Encourage that in your children. Ouch. This is a fun one. Take, have your child, you know, I have a scar on the top of my head that I got when I was 10. I was at my grandma's house, and they had all gone, all the grown-ups had gone to dinner. My cousin was babysitting. I ran into the piano, split my head open, and so my cousin found a neighbor, took me to the hospital where I had to get stitches, and they shaved my head so they could find it. So the rest of the summer, I had this patch of turf on the top of my head that was rather embarrassing. But how many of you have a scar, have a really good scar story? Okay, there's a couple of you. You know what? When you are 5 or 6, you have more stories about scrapes. Look at this cut. You know, everything needs a Band-Aid. You know what? Hey, capitalize on that. Have your child tell you about a scrape. Write that down. How did you get that scrape? How did you see that? You know, you can't even see it. It's like, what are you talking about? No, I got it. It hurt. They can tell you 20 pages of how they got that itty-bitty scratch. And capitalize on that and give them a Band-Aid. Have them draw a picture. And I have my kids take a Band-Aid and you just stick it right on the paper. Works great. Those kids love that. So encourage them to write a story about how they got a scar. But, you know, when you get older, all of a sudden, you know, nothing's, unless it's a really good scar, you don't even mention it. But when you're 5 or 6 and you're little, boy, you've got all kinds. This one is, you are charming. This is when I pull out a charm bracelet. Oh, look at all the cute little charms. And you know what? Tell me about those charms. On your piece of paper, you have a hand. And it has three little shapes on the bottom, two triangles, or two diamonds and a triangle. Right now we're going to take 1 minute. We're going to do this so super fast. I want you to think of three things that describe you. If you could have your own charm bracelet, what would you put as your charms? You have 1 minute. Go. You can draw a picture. You can write words. If you have colored pencils or crayons, you can use those too. But write down what kind of charms you've got. All right, that's enough. You only have 20 seconds, sorry. Now, I want you to turn around, turn forward, turn backward, find someone you don't know. I want you to share those with the last 30 seconds that we have. There's nothing worse than going to a conference and sitting next to people. So go ahead and share. All right, show me your charms.
You know, I was taking notes.
Oh! All right.
I'm sorry. I'm creative. I like to paint and sew and do all kinds of things like that.
Well, good. Good. You're kind of on the spot. All right. We got to stop. We got to move on. All right, stop visiting. That's enough. Enough friend making. But please, now that you've talked, you've broken the ice with this nice person who's next to you, please, whenever you see that person again, wave and say, remember the charms, or, you know, do something. That there's nothing worse than going to a conference and not making any new friends or learning new ideas, because everyone here has some fabulous ideas. So, anyway, the charm bracelet. If you were 6, this activity would take over an hour. Trust me, I know. Just the whole, how do you trace your hand takes a good 10 or 15 minutes. And the whole scissor thing, we're not going to go there. Anyway, with this, take the time, do the charms. This is a great activity for kids this age. They want to tell you all about themselves. Was that hard? Was it hard to fill out 3 things? Yes? Yes, well, okay, those who had a hard time, you go home and find some talents, find some skills. Everyone else, that should have been a pretty easy, you know, thing that you can do. Kids love this. Have them make charms of all the different things in their life, who they are, what they like. So all of that. Then the flip and fold books, we've already done those. Next, we're moving on to the developing writers. This stage, they can spell. They use more text than illustrations. The pictures start getting smaller. And part of that is because this age group, they want their drawings to look real. It was okay when you were little and you drew a dog and it looked like a hot dog. But at this stage, they're very critical of themselves. They're critical of their drawing. They're critical of their writing. So those are some things we need to deal with. They have a growing vocabulary. This is the age they're starting to read. They're starting to read chapter books. And they're realizing there is more to life than just their little inner circle. They want to spell correctly. Now, some of our perfectionist beginning writers have already hit this stage. They know things need to be spelled correctly. This age group is panic-stricken. They fear this spelling thing. They like to change their writing into different shapes, and that's what I'm going to show you today. There's some different ways you can do with this. Next picture. All right, here's the traffic light again. Right. Green light. Give them the go. Yes, start writing. Now, with this one, I tell the kids, okay, just take your head and tip it, and all those ideas will just run out of your head. Get a piece of paper and make sure you catch all those because they're good. Just start pouring out. Get those ideas out. Focus on your writing, not the correcting. So often, and this is not just children, this is us as well. The whole time I've been preparing for this, I've been writing a lot of information because I'm putting these ideas together in a book. Thus, your yellow sheet of paper. It's this close, but editing took this long and I didn't quite get it finished. So anyway, focus. And I found myself as I was typing, if I looked up at the screen, instead of my fingers as I type, if I looked at the screen and I saw all the spell check errors, I froze. Oh no, I spelled that wrong. And I would stop writing, I'd go back and I'd start correcting, and then you'd lose your train of thought. Right. Give them the green. Just go. Just get the ideas out. Let's start. You've got to get that action. Next, we go to the yellow light. Slow down. Step back away from your writing. Let's look at it. Have them read it to themselves and correct the spelling and punctuation. Have them read it out loud and point to every single word. Sometimes when you do that, you go, oh, I totally missed that word. Or you start seeing things. This is the age where you start helping them to edit their own and start seeing, oh, this is going to be a good thing. But right now, they're very critical. Oh, I didn't spell that right. Oh, that doesn't make sense. And you have to help them. You know what? That's coming. If you help your children understand that there are different stages and they become better writers after every stage, oh, they kind of calm down. Oh, okay, then I'll be that later. They get the big picture. Okay, I'll be a better writer. But right now I have to make it through this whole stage, follow these steps so I can get there. Read to a friend after they read it to themselves and correct. And I tell them, right here, the green light, this is your sloppy copy. It's not pretty. It's nothing you're going to hang on the wall. This is sloppy copy. And it can be that way. It doesn't matter. When you get up here to the yellow light, to the edit, that's your working copy. That's when you rearrange your ideas. That's when you start really pulling your paper together. And your sparkle, the red light, that is your final copy. That needs to be your turning that in. That is the final thing. It is beautiful. This one, give them opportunities to finish and to share their writing. That whole give them time. Oh, it kills me every time. Because you do this, you do the charm bracelet with this group and they can do it much quicker. For the beginning writers, it takes a week. For this group, it takes a couple days. And I would have them draw the charms one day. The next day I would have them, in the hand, the next day I would have them write down what do the charms mean? Oh, I put a baseball on there because I love to play baseball. So have, that's where their writing comes in. Their writing, they need to have meaning. Writing is not just to torture them. They're starting to see that I have a voice. I can do that. Okay. This is your developing writer. Your developing writer is not, yippee, it's writing time. This is him. He is petrified, can't stand writing. He doesn't like his handwriting. He is afraid of spelling everything wrong. Everything, when you ask this child to write, he is just, no, I'm going to have to, you know, it's another way you're going to point at me and say, that's wrong. Okay? You do have kids that love to write because I think they've gone through the process. But most developing writers look like this poor, nervous, very fearful kind of child. All right, some great activities to do with this group. All right, look at your chart. The first one is put yourself in a painting. Look at the chart on the top of your paper, the hidden treasure chart. And it's the one with the eye, the nose, and the ear. Take that. I love this. This age group is so fun. I love to do it, especially put yourself in a painting. You use that chart, have your whole group for family night or, you know, for a class, have them do that chart and then say, oh, we did this last night. Great. Don't do everything at once. Have them do parts. Do the chart one time. Then the next day, say, pull out that chart. Today, we're going to put ourselves in a painting. Oh. And I say, I want you to think about that painting. If you were there with Ben and I, who would you be in that painting? Have them choose someone in the painting that they just looked at. Who would you be? Why would you be that person? I want you to tell the story from that point of view. Have them write down, and with the developing writers, you write in small sentences. Don't drag it out, especially if you've got a child who doesn't like to write. What are you going to do? Have them tell the story from their point of view. This is a great activity, and sometimes they'll be the main character. Sometimes they'll be the main bad guy. Sometimes they'll be the guy who is, really in the background, who's just observing. Sometimes they might even be a camel, you know. My daughter wrote a whole perspective from the camel, you know, in one of the pictures. Jump into that painting. Put yourself in a painting. This is fabulous. Because the kids have already imagined themselves in there because of the chart, the hidden treasure chart that you've already done. Same thing with Everyone Loves the Letter. In this one, you take the hidden treasure chart, you look at the painting, you have that in front of you, and you say, you know what? If I could write to someone in that painting, what would I say? And then you break it down and say, okay, we're going to, this is how you write a letter. This is where your address goes. This is where the date goes. Dear Noah, comma. Skip two lines. Go down. Dear Noah, what did it really feel like? You know, first of all, I always try to have them say, thank you. Thank you for being on the ark. That was really nice. And then the next paragraph, then you start asking questions. What did it really smell like? How many animals did the lions eat? You know, did you ever have any problems? You know, have them brainstorm. What are some good questions? Not things like, how many animals of each kind, you know, how many numbers of each kind of animal did you have? I don't want to know boring questions that I already know the answer to. I want thought-provoking questions. Have them think about it. Then sign their name, put it in an envelope, have them address it, Dear Noah. On the ark, lick it, close it, seal it. Then, if you have a class that you're doing this with, you can either swap letters and that person, whoever's envelope you get, you become Noah and you have to return a letter. Or you do something we did. I gave all the letters to my father, who is here today. I gave him all our letters and I said, will you please think about these? Will you write them? So, 2 weeks later, guess what? Hey, we got mail. Look, letters for everyone. Noah wrote you a letter. You know, and the kids are, wow, you know, and there they were. We have those in our little portfolios. Our kids love that. You know, and Noah over here had to be real creative with his answers. But you can do that with any picture, any painting, as long as there's lots of good details. Okay, trading cards. My kids love Pokemon cards or baseball cards, and so we've made up our own. You cut piece, you know, construction or cardstock into. You just trace your Pokemon cards, and that becomes a trading card. You take a picture. If you've got a digital camera, you print those pictures out 1 inch by 2 inch, slap it on one of those cards. Hey, here's my collection of teddy bears. They all have a name. They're all really special. You can have your kids just create their own. Another one is fabulous fans. This is a fabulous fan. And if you come tonight to the Colonial Fair that's during the Dance of the Decade tonight, you can make one of these. This is face-to-face with great men and women in Colonial America. Basically, what you do is you take a picture of somebody. You've seen these. You can buy these things with famous painters and states and whatever, presidents. Make your own. And then all you have to do, I mean, who's going to be intimidated by writing that much about George Washington? Make it small. Don't intimidate this group. Don't intimidate your younger. If you said, oh, great, I want you to write down 9 people, 9 famous colonial Americans, and then write some sentences about each one. Are you kidding? Your kid's on the floor crying. No, not again. You know, don't make it a report. This is a report. Just give it a different shape. This is a fan. Oh, my goodness. Look, Thomas Jefferson. All of a sudden, they've reached the bottom. They're going, hey, but he was so cool. Oh, great. Keep going. Make writing fun. Find a way. Change the shape. They love that. All right. Moving on. Okay, will you go to 2 more? Don't look. Okay, here we are. Another thing I want to encourage is writing journals. And this is for all ages. Your writing journal is not a chronological, today was boring. It's not going day by day. They should write in it every day, or they should try. What it is a collection. This is where you collect stuff. How many in this room have a collection of recipes that have never been tried? Oh my, it looks like everybody. Okay, how many have it in one place? Okay, a few hands, that's good. The rest of you need to get to work. I have a file folder at home. I'm at the dentist, I'm ripping out the magazine. Is that okay? Sorry, you know, I have to try that eggplant thing, you know. I take it home. I'm constantly writing stuff down, but I have a folder. I put that in. I finally got smart, and everything goes in that folder. Whether or not I ever cook hummus or eggplant or, you know, pickled beets or whatever, I don't know, but I have that. That is in my collection. That is what a writing journal is. It captures your ideas. It is somewhere for you to put all those great thoughts. You know you have those thoughts. You wake up and go, "That I need to write that down after my shower." Are you kidding? That thought is gone by the time you turn the hot water on. In each of the different stages, beginning writers, this is going to be you draw a picture and write your words underneath it. It's very simple. Because that's all they want to do is draw, and then it might be a story, but most of it will be pictures. For developing writers, this writing journal, I have my kids list stuff. In fact, turn your paper over and write 1, 2. Because our time is short. No, go 1 through 5, quick. And I want you to think about some of your favorite outfits you've had your whole life. Whether it was your tennis shoes that you loved in high school or your favorite pair of pants. I want you to write down 5 pieces of clothing that you, list 5 pieces of clothing that you loved. You have 3 seconds. Okay. All right, was that hard? Let me tell you about my 5th grade, red, white, and blue, striped bell-bottom pants. You're right, I'm not that old, but I was so hip. I love those. My favorite. My kids laugh. I have a picture of me in standing, you know, in my pants. Anyway, this, your writing journal for the developing writers, this is a great place to make lists. Lists of your favorite clothes. Lists of food you can't stand to eat. Lists of funny words. Words that just sound funny, like rutabaga, trombone. There's a lot of musical instruments that sound funny. Anyway, you're just making lists. Or they're starting stories. Or they're writing down, they're copying down their favorite poem. This is where you're collecting fun writings. And with those writings, now we can go. Okay, gardeners around the world in the springtime plant seeds. Then they put them in pots because they're starting them inside. This is at your local greenhouse. Take seeds, plant them in a little pot. It grows so big, they got to move it from the itty-bitty pot into a bigger pot. At that point, you go to the local greenhouse and you buy that, and you put this should have brown dirt, you plant that in your garden, and guess what? 2 months later, you have tomatoes, or green beans, or, you know, peppers. So you're transplanting a seed. Next. You're doing the same thing with your writing journal. Bing! You have an idea. Take that idea. You're going to write it in your writing journal. It's a seed. It's not even huge. It's not even, you know, it's just, oh, I did have those funny pair of pants. I'm going to write those down. Funny clothes that I've had. Or worst clothes, worst outfits I've ever worn. Things like that. Someday, after you have a collection of things, you're going to flip through your book and something is going to jump out of the page and say, write me. Write more about me. And you're going to say, you know, I really should write that story of those funny pants. It doesn't mean anything to anyone else, but that was important to me. It made me feel great when I wore those. You're going to take that seed that's in your writing journal and you're going to transplant it to another piece of paper. It's becoming something. You're growing an idea. You are growing a memory. At that point, you send it through your writing traffic light. You do write. That's what you're doing here. You write more about those funny pants, that idea. Then you're going to edit it. Go through, is the spelling right? Does this make sense? Finally, you make it sparkle. Now, when you get to the sparkle stage, you have a choice. What are you going to do with that? Well, you could turn it into a movie, a screenplay of my pants, you know. Or it could be the 5th grade wonders, you know, ideas I had, but make it into a movie form. You could become a song. I love those pants, my red, white, and blue. You know, whatever. You could... You know, some people are inspired to write music. I, not being one of those, but if you're that type, you might write a song about a special memory that you had one morning before the shower and you wrote it in your journal. You might make a fan like this. These are all the funny clothes I had when I was a child. Well, here's my funny pants. Here's the jumper that was too small that I got stuck in. That I'm claustrophobic now because of that jumper. Don't tell my mother because she made it. Anyway, you might create some funny little thing of all the, you know, special memories that you have. It might be a fan. It might be a book. That idea right here that was a seed, you saved that. And that's what memoirs are. You can write a whole book on memories. And I'm going to teach more about that this afternoon when we get to writing with your family, is some of the different things that you can do as a family after just that little idea those stories of you growing up, the stories of grandma growing up, and the story that they become. I am out of time, but let me tell you about the yellow piece of paper. I have put all my ideas, the theory, how to do that, and all of those ideas, plus all the activities, and they're in a book. It's right here. I wish it was full. It's not. It's going to the printer soon. But if you would like a copy, there is a conference special, and you can just fill out that chart, you know, the thing, and hand it to me. One thing that I love to do with children is have them share. They need to share. They need to finish those stories and share them, publish them. We have created a website, and on this website, you can email somewhere, email, and we will put it on the web. Then grandma can type in, right, learningisablast.com, and hey, there's Johnny. Email, and it's just another way. I won't put last names. I won't put your address, and you don't have to send that to me. But if your child, if you want them to have somewhere to publish that, we have created somewhere for that to happen. Okay? We have lots of ideas, and you can come and look at that. It's just learningisablast.com, and we're on the web. And, oh, thank you for being here. And I hope if you're going to start writing with your kids, go home and do the hidden treasure chart. Go home and do the charms. Go home and make a fan, or come tonight, make a fan. Do something and make writing fun, because you are the one who really does that. Thank you for being here today.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.